And we're reading from verse 1 to verse 11. This can be found on page 1159 of your church Bibles in the middle of your rows. So starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. But just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many.
Thank you. Please do keep 2 Corinthians open. We started a new series last Sunday. Verses 1 to 7 was our focus last Sunday, and this evening we'll be focusing on verses 8 to 11. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and speaks to us. I pray that we would have ears to hear what you have to say to us this evening, and that we would be challenged and changed and comforted by your words this evening. In Jesus' name and for his glory and praise. Amen. A question for you. What do you do when you are faced with trouble? Maybe you turn around and go the other way straight away. Maybe you are a flee. You flee it straight away. Or maybe you try and avoid it. You see it's coming up and you try and work out ways to get around the trouble. Or maybe you wait and you just kind of hunker down and you wait, hoping that it will go away soon. I wonder, how do you deal with trouble? Before we go to God's word, to his wisdom, there's some wisdom I want to go to elsewhere. The wisdom of a well-known kids' book. We're going on a bear hunt, published in 1989. There's been films and kind of and songs about it as well, but I want to read a bit of it now to you. Are we sitting comfortably, everybody? Good. Okay, just one page, maybe more later. We'll see. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. Uh-oh. Grass, long, wavy grass. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh no, we've got to go. Well done. We've got to go through it. We've got to go through it. When troubles spring up, As we'll see, both from this book and from God's word, we must walk through it, not avoid it. And this is for our good. We're in 2 Corinthians, and as we heard last Sunday, all about how God is the God who comforts us in all our troubles. He comforts us because when we are facing troubles, his comfort and the comfort from his people is what we need to keep going. God uses our troubles for good. And that's why at the start of this letter by Paul, the Apostle Paul, to the church in Corinth, he mentions these things in verse 8 and 9 of chapter 1, of his troubles, and he shares them pretty bluntly to this church. Verse 8 and 9, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia." We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. 3 points tonight. Our first point, facing troubles for our faith in Jesus. Facing troubles for our faith in Jesus. I wonder, when was the last time you filled out a job application or a form highlighting your skills? I'm guessing when asked or if asked the question, how do you deal with difficulties, you wouldn't answer it quite how Paul chooses to answer it. So Paul, how do you deal with your difficulties when you face trouble? Paul, according to 2 Corinthians, would say this, I'm unable to endure great pressure. I'll be prone to despair of life itself. And I may even feel like I received the sentence of death. Thanks, Paul. I'm not sure you've got the job, but thank you anyway. Come again next time. And yet, Paul, he does be quite honest with us straight away. He shows his weakness and bears all to his brothers and sisters. Why? Well, Paul is modeling the very thing the Corinth church fears. And the church in Corinth, they fear weakness. The church in Corinth, like many, thought it could bypass affliction and weakness on the way to comfort. That the Christian faith can look successful and impressive and free of trouble. Paul would keep telling them again and again and telling us as well that is impossible. The authentic Christian faith is one of great trials and great joys. Much weakness, yes, but always with God's strength and deliverance as well. When faced with troubles, we can't go over it. We can't go under it. We have to go through it. So, what exact troubles was Paul and his team experiencing when they left Corinth in Greece and crossed over to the province of Asia, now modern-day Turkey? Well, it could have been a number of troubles. It could have been a certain moment in Paul's life. Perhaps it was in Ephesus, where there was a big riot. He was preaching in a synagogue, and the entire city was in uproar by what he was preaching. And there's more of that in Acts 19. Or it may have been how Paul has felt during his many troubles. If you turn over the page from 2 Corinthians 1 to 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9, we see what he felt during his many troubles. Chapter 4, verse 8, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." There is an honesty about his troubles, and yet also a confidence in his God. I thought it was amazing. I'll say this again. It says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." There is a beauty there of his trust in God in the midst of really hard times. And if that's not enough, we get a list of his troubles much later on in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. And wow, it is quite a list. We're going to look at it together on the screens. This is Paul speaking, listing his troubles for the gospel. I wonder, have you experienced any of these? I have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And then to kind of top it all off, verse 28, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. It's a small few things that he's concerned about. The troubles and sufferings that were heard about last week are now put more intensely here throughout 2 Corinthians. And then going back to chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians in verses 8 and 9, he's showing what he's experiencing is not what everyone experiences. Paul isn't talking here about growing old and taxes and the struggles of mental health and physical health. No, these troubles all people experience all over the world. The troubles mentioned here by Paul, his suffering is seen through this letter in lots of detail, is because he follows Jesus Christ. And these troubles are not just for special Paul, the apostle, but are the expectation for all who follow Jesus. To follow Jesus is to suffer. I wonder if you knew that. I think that comes as a surprise to us now, as it did to the church in Corinth then. We want the easy life, a life that is safe, a life that is secure. But Jesus doesn't promise us that. Verses 8 and verses 9, Paul was troubled. He experienced great pressure. He was far beyond what he could endure himself. He was despairing of life itself. And this might leave us with the question, and maybe you're thinking this as well, but I'm not experiencing this kind of trouble for Jesus. What if when we hear the list of Paul's troubles, the stories of his persecution, the pressure he was under, but we've never experienced any troubles for being a Christian? Why is that? Am I doing things wrong as a Christian? Three reflections on that. Firstly, why are we not experiencing troubles for following Jesus? First, I think it's God's grace. God's grace, his grace and peace. We live in a country that has had a Christian influence for over 1,000 years. There are over 40,000 churches in this nation. 16,000 Anglican churches like ours. There are Christian schools and Christian members of parliaments and Christian laws. There are Christian charities who have instilled in us a culture that abides by the Ten Commandments from the Old Testament, a morality about the Christian way of life. Tom Holland, author and kind of podcaster of the podcast The Rest is History, in his book Dominion, explores how Christianity has drastically shaped our Western values, how it transforms how we view power and morality and human rights. And even kind of secular societies can't deny the influence that Christianity has played on theirs. Or even to quote the evangelist Glenn Scrivener's book title, Christianity is just the air we breathe. It's the air we breathe. It's what we're used to. It's just what we can't even see. It's our culture all around us. And because of that, we are different to this first church plant in Corinth. The prayers and actions of many who've gone before us have been answered by God in giving us such undeserved kindness and peace in this nation. But that is changing, isn't it? Churches are closing and teaching what the current culture wants to hear rather than what the Bible is declaring. Christianity is being pushed out now of politics and the workplace, and many believe it should be a private faith, and not a public faith anymore. Although we can thank God for the giants of faith who've gone before us, we can't rest on their faith alone. We can thank God for God's grace in this nation. Next, why are we not experiencing troubles following Jesus? Next one is give it time. Give it time. For some of us, it may be just simply that we haven't lived long enough yet as Christians. Either we're too young, or we're too new to Christianity, or we've been kind of sheltered. And if that is you, can I encourage you to speak to older Christians with a few more grey hairs and ask them the troubles they've experienced for following Jesus, the cost that they have given and chosen to follow him, how God has worked in their troubles. It's amazing stories to hear of their faith. Do, if you have Christians who you know who are older and wiser, ask them their thoughts on that, and it will encourage you in your faith as well. So God's grace, give it time, and lastly, perhaps the harder one, get uncomfortable. If Paul was around today, and rather than a boat, because obviously he's terrified of boats, being shipwrecked three times, he got an EasyJet flight from Crete to London Heathrow, got the tube into Parsons Green, and came to St. Peter's and spent a week with us. How would he just describe our faith? How would he describe our actions, how we spend our time, how we speak to others and what we say? What would the Apostle Paul say to us? I think he might say something like this. My brother, my sister, I think you are too comfortable. I think like the church in Corinth, you may be trying to follow Jesus without being willing to suffer for him as well. Now, I'm not saying that we need to be shipwrecked like Paul and kicked out of our workplaces and churches and schools. But that has happened, even in the history of St. Peter's in recent years. 2 years ago, parents from the local school from St. Peter's were running a school lunch club about the Bible, teaching the Bible. And after a few months, because of what we're teaching here at St. Peter's, we were kicked out. We were cancelled for a number of months. That was hard. We were upset that our local school, we couldn't go in and share the good news of Jesus to these kids who were desperate to hear this good news. It was hard for us, and our response was to pray to the God who we trust. In his kindness, although we can't do that club anymore, we now can come in and do assemblies occasionally as well. And as we mentioned at a prayer supper on Wednesday, at church planting, we're going with vigor and with zeal to plant churches in London. And yet the recent steps have had doors slammed in our faces, again, because of what we believe about the Bible. That's troubling. That's hard. We want to proclaim the good news of Jesus to other parts of this great city in great need, and doors are being shut in our faces. Our response? To pray. And I hope we pray lots more this year. I'm really glad that there's lots of opportunities for us to pray together and as a network going forward this year. And that's our second point, because actually in the trouble, when we're facing troubles, that can actually grow our faith and grow our hope. Number two, facing troubles can grow our faith and our hope. The crux of our reading is the end of verse 9. Why did Paul face so much trouble following Christ? Well, verse 9 says this, "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." By getting uncomfortable, by counting the cost, by following Jesus even when it hurts, by going through troubles, Paul found the God who can bring dead people back to life. Paul is saying here that we were as good as dead, but God used our pending death for our good. In verse 10, it says that he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him, we've set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. God uses our troubles for our good. The suffering that Paul experienced since being a Christian happened so that he had to rely not on himself, but on God. And this grew his faith. In the troubles of life, because of the gospel, his faith grew. God does not disappoint, but continues to deliver Paul again and again and again. And the many times that he was facing troubles, he couldn't rely on his eloquence or his strength or his networks. Instead, he relied fully on God. And it was God who delivered him. That word delivered is used three times in verse 10. He's delivered us, he will deliver us again, and he will continue to deliver us. Paul is wrapped around with supernatural cotton wool, knowing that in his weakness, it is God who delivers again and again and again. This cannot help but grow his faith. Paul had a confidence, had a faith in God, that for as long as God still had work for him to do, still had church plants for him to plant, then God would deliver him from all his troubles. And when his time was up, then great, go into glory, go into heaven. I wonder, when we think back in our lives, when there's been moments when we've really had hard times in our lives, real troubles that we have just been pretty desperate, pretty despairing about. In those moments, they're really hard, aren't they? Really hard. And yet, as Christians, when we look back on those moments, often we see how good God was and how we relied on him in a deeper way. There was a Bible verse that we were just clinging to during that hard time. Or there was a friend that we were praying with every single day. We just needed to pray a psalm or cry out to him every day to get through that hard patch. In the hardest times of my life, that is when I felt closest to God. That is verse 9 in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, the one who raises the dead. Paul has that faith that God has delivered him and will deliver him again and again. He was as good as dead many times, but God used his pending death for his good and for our good as well. And the reason we can say that, because he starts this part of 2 Corinthians, this letter in verse 3, praising God. He is praising God even in his troubles, even in his suffering and despairing of life. Verse 3, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Do we believe he is the God of compassion and all comfort tonight? Paul's faith is strengthened as he suffers, and Paul's hope is deepened. And Paul is modeling to us that our hope should not be on anything except firmly on the one that can deliver us from all things. The one that can raise the dead to life. And later this evening, as we close our service, we'll be singing a song called How Firm a Foundation. And this is how the song starts. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to all who to Jesus for refuge have fled. That is where we find our salvation. Our hope is on the one who has gone before us, died for us, and has been delivered from death. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but we rely on God. We rely on the one who raises the dead. Do you believe in this God? If you do, then all things are possible in him, in his strength, and in our weakness. I wonder, what would this week look like to have a faith and a hope in this God, the God who can raise the dead, rather than the hope that we put on ourselves? Firstly, I think it means we have to rely on him and lean on him and not our own understanding. To trust in the one who can raise the dead, even when we think what's happening in our situation is impossible. Perhaps with evangelism, there's a friend who we want to be chatting to more, but we find it awkward to mention our faith because, you know, they're quite cool, and if we mention our faith, that might not really work out. But are we relying on God in those moments? We've got this life-saving, death-defying news. that we would love others to hear? Could we lean on God this week and share that news with our friends, to be bold in inviting them to the 321 course later on next week? And this reliance on God and not ourselves is a hard thing. And I think in particular, it's hard in Fulham. It's really hard in Fulham. For many people, there is a certain level of comfort and identity wrapped into our lifestyle, in how we live. It's assumed and expected from our mates and our colleagues and our neighbours of how to live. But is that relying on God? What does it look like to rely on God, to be thanking him for all the blessings he gives us, but not to rely on those blessings? It's hard to be a Christian in Fulham when the bar is here of what they expect of you, and we have very different measurements for what it looks like to trust and live for Jesus. How can we be bold this week and not shy away? Lastly, our third point, facing troubles can grow faith and thanks in others. Paul tells us his struggles to encourage us and to invite us to pray and walk with others through theirs. And the last two verses, the last bit of verse 10 and 11 say this. It says, on him we've set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. We see here in verse 11 how Paul is not alone in his troubles. Paul has and continues to be delivered by God, and some of it is through the prayers of the church in Corinth. Verse 11, as you help us by your prayers. That is why he is sharing his troubles, so that they can be praying for one another. And not just praying for each other to build up their faith and reliance on God, but then also rejoicing in thanks and praise when the prayers are answered. See, the church in Corinth is partnering with Paul's mission all over the Mediterranean. The church in Corinth's faith grew in Paul's troubles as they prayed that God would deliver him. The church in Corinth were then able to thank God when they had heard of how their prayers for Paul were answered. Maybe that question I asked earlier, why are we not experiencing troubles, may still be lingering in the back of your mind. And maybe you're thinking, well, I love Jesus, and I'm trying to live a courageous and faithful life for him, but I'm just not experiencing troubles. And if that is the case, praise God. That is his kindness and mercy to you. But don't stop there. Instead, pray and share with those who are suffering for the gospel. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we see these words. If one member suffers, then all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, then all rejoice together with it. Who do you know who is facing troubles right now because of their faith? Pray for them. Pray for them that they would rely on God and know his deliverance in the face of their troubles. They would rely on God, the one who raises the dead. Pray for our mission partners who are often in much harder situations than we are right now here in Fulham. We prayed for Alex, our brother earlier, based in the Arab world. Pray for him that he seeks to plant new churches, and he has and will face continuing opposition. Pray for him and the team that they would know God's goodness in their troubles and rely on him, and that we then can partner with him in praying for his troubles and then rejoice when we hear of answered prayers here on Sundays or when we pray for him during the week. Pray for people you know. Pray for our mission partners. Pray for the persecuted church all over the world. There are many, even today, can say these words in verse 9. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. There are many who are saying those words right now. All over the world as Christians. The prayers of the church in Corinth helped deliver Paul from his troubles. Our prayers are powerful and can be doing the same thing to Christians who we know and Christians who we don't yet know. What a privilege it is to pray. What a joy it is where we hear of answered prayers and we can thank God and our faith can be strengthened as well as their faith. What a God we believe in, the one who raises the dead. As we finish, I'd love us to do two things, praying for others and praying for ourselves. First, praying for others. If there's people you know now who are facing troubles as Christians, why not pray for them now? Who is on your heart right now to be praying for them? So somebody else to pray for, and then also for ourselves, that we would pray that when we are having a hard time because of our faith, that we would walk through that trouble, we would know God in that trouble, and we would be bold to not avoid that trouble, but count it a joy to suffer for the gospel, and then to rely on God. Pray for somebody else. Pray for ourselves that we would get uncomfortable for Jesus' sake. A few moments now to pray by yourselves, and then I'll close us in a final prayer. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in our weakest, in our hardest, in our most pain and suffering, you are there, you are with us, you are walking with us in our troubles. And you, in your miraculous ways, use those hardest times for our good, that we would rely not on ourselves, but on you. Father, this week, would we rely on you and not ourselves in every aspect of our lives, for your Son's sake and for his glory. Amen.